Well, everybody.
Brother.
Okay, this week we're going to pick it up in 1 Chronicles chapter 2. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. Is it getting a reading there and everything? Everything okay? All right. Okay, let me give you an outline here for chapter 2. Roman numeral number 1, we have the sons of Israel. The sons of Israel, verses 1 and 2. Roman numeral number 2, the sons of Judah. The sons of Judah, verses 3 to 17. Verses 3 to 17. Roman numeral number 3, the sons of Hezron. Hezron is spelled H-E-Z-R-O-N, Hezron. Verses 18 to 41. Verses 18 to 41. And then Roman numeral number 4, the sons of Caleb. The sons of Caleb, verses 42 to 55. Verses 42 to 55. That kind of breaks down the chapter. You could probably break it down a little more than that, but that's the main divisions in the chapter. Again, we're dealing with genealogies, as the first 9 chapters of the book of Chronicles deals with genealogies. But there's a lot to be found in here, and tonight I'll show you some real nuggets that I found in here. Okay, chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. These are the sons of Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, and Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And the sons of Judah, and Onan, and Shelah, which three were born unto him of the daughter of Shua the Canaanitess. And the firstborn of Judah, was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he slew him. And Tamar, his daughter-in-law, bare him Pharaz and Zerah. All the sons of Judah were 5. The sons of Pharaz, Hezron, Hemuel. The sons of Zerah, Zimri, Ethan, and Heman, and Kolkal, and Dara. 5 of them in all. The sons of Carmi, Achar, the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the thing accursed, and the sons of Ethan, Azariah, the sons of Hezron, the son also of Hezron that was born to him, Jeremiel and Ram, Kelab, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, prince of the children of Judah, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse. I made it through there without too much trouble. There's some tough ones in there. It's just like I said, they should have named them easy names like George and Bill and things like that. Okay? All right. Now, first of all, in verse 1 here, we have verses 1 and 2, actually, the sons of Israel, or Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. You'll find that in Genesis 32, verse 28. Genesis 32, 28. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel, the name Israel, means Prince of God. Prince of God, or prevailed with God. Prevailed with God. If you know the story there in Genesis 32 where he got his name changed, he did prevail with God. He wrestled with the angel, and that was God, pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ. He wrestled with him all night, and so he got a blessing and got his name changed to Israel. So it used to be Jacob, which meant supplanter, and then he got his name changed to Israel. Okay, now, Bible lists here his sons, and of course, Israel or Jacob had 12 sons, and that's where the 12 tribes of Israel come from. Now, the first 5 sons mentioned, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, 6, those are the sons of Leah. Leah, that was his first wife. He got kind of tricked into marrying her. You all remember that story from Genesis. She had 6 boys by Jacob. And the way they're listed here, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, in verse 1, those are all the sons of Leah there, groups together. Now you'll find over and over in the Bible the names of the children of Israel, but they're never usually in the same order. They're just kind of at random. I'm sure there's a meaning for that in each passage. What I'm going to give you right now is I'll give you all the 12 sons in the order of their birth. So you can just write their names down. The firstborn was Reuben. Reuben was born of Leah. Leah. That was Leah's first son and Jacob's first son. The second boy was Simeon, or Simon, however you want to pronounce it. And he was also a son of Leah. The third was Levi. And that, he was also a son of Leah. The fourth was Judah. Fourth son was Judah, and that was a son of Leah also. Okay, then at this point, he has another son named Dan, but it was by a different woman. Dan was born unto Jacob by Bilhah, who is Rachel's handmaid. So Dan is the fifth son. By Bilhah. B-I-L-H-A-H. Bilhah. That was Rachel's handmaid. See what happened? Rachel, she kind of got jealous that Leah was having all these boys and she didn't have one child. And she had a handmaid and she says, well, I'll just give my handmaid to him, raise up a son that way. And of course, Abraham kind of got in trouble doing that with Hagar. And it raises some problems here. Dan, if you study him through the Bible, he wasn't too good of a tribe. And so that was the fifth son, Dan, and he was by Bilhah. His mother was Bilhah. Then the sixth son was Naphtiel, and his mother was also Bilhah. Had two sons by that woman. The seventh son was Gad. Gad, and he was the son of Zilpha. Zilpha was Leah's maid. So this time Leah gets into the act and says, well, if Rachel's going to do that, I will too. And so Leah's handmaid was given to Jacob, and Jacob had Gad by her, the seventh son, and then also the eighth son, Asher. Asher, the eighth son, was by Zilpha. And boy, I tell you, I sure wouldn't want to be in that household, having four women and all these kids. I mean, one wife and four kids, it gets kind of hectic at times. And I'm sure Jacob turned gray before his time. The ninth son was Issachar, however you pronounce it. And his mother was Leah. Now Leah starts bearing children again. And that was the fifth son that Leah had. The number 10, Zebulon, his mother was Leah also. And that was the sixth son of Leah, and that's all the sons that she had. Okay, so you have 10 sons, and then finally, God remembers Rachel, and she has a son, the 11th son, named Joseph. Joseph was by Rachel. And then finally, the last son, which was born a little while later, the 12th son was Benjamin, also by Rachel. And Rachel died in childbearing with this boy. So she had two sons. But Leah had six, Bilhah had two, Zilpha had two, and Rachel had two. Now, for the references on those sons, and you can find them in that order, just write down Genesis 30, verse 1 to 24, Genesis 30, verses 1 to 24, and Genesis 35, 16 to 18. That reference there in chapter 35 talks about Benjamin. All the other sons are mentioned in chapter 30 of Genesis. Yes, sir? Asher was the eighth. Yeah, I did say it. I didn't kind of give it in the same order. I kind of slid in that one. Yeah, Asher was the eighth one, right after Gad. And his mother was Zilpha. Z-I-L-P-H-A. I'm sorry, P-A-H. P-A-H. Okay. That's the 12 boys there. That's the tribes that all the children of Israel come from. Those 12 fellows are known as the patriarchs a lot of times, the 12 patriarchs. So you have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who was changed to Israel, and then these 12 boys listed here. And then as we go through Chronicles, the Lord's going to show us all the sons from those tribes. And we're not going to be too interested in any tribe but the tribe of Judah and Levi. Now we're going to look at those pretty close. Want to check Judah because from Judah comes Jesus Christ, or at least that line. We understand it wasn't the physical seed. But yet we're going to look at that line real close and in detail, and we're going to look at the tribe of Levi because the priests come from Levi. The other ones will, you know, you'll have to read on yourself. I just don't have the time in this class to spend on those tribes there. But I'm sure you can get something from them. Okay, so that's 12 boys. Now, verse 3, 1 Chronicles 2, 3. The sons of Judah, we're going to follow this line pretty close. And Onan and Shelah. Now, let me back up here. Let me say this right now. I'm going to give you a problem text right here in this verse. A lot of the scholars and people that ridicule the King James Bible find a problem with this verse right here, and it falls with the persons where it says which three were born unto him of the daughter of Shua, the Canaanitess. Okay, you see that phrase there, the Shua, the Canaanitess. Okay, here's the problem. Now, if you'll flip back to Genesis chapter 38. And we'll have to look at this. I want to spend a little time on this one to show you how to work out problems when you run into them in the Bible. Because the Bible obviously is not wrong. It's infallible. It's without error. It's like God because it's God's words. And when people say there's mistakes in the Bible, they're too ignorant. They haven't searched it out, or they just want to reject what God has to say. Okay, Genesis 38, verse 2. The verse says here, Genesis 38, 2, and Judah saw there the daughter of a certain Canaanite. Now, Canaanite, that's masculine. Whose name was Shuha. And took her and went into her. Now, if you can, hold both places and look at both verses. In 1 Chronicles 2, 3, you'll see there what it says, was born unto him of the daughter of Shua, the Canaanitess. Well, there's two problems with this verse that people have. They say, well, which one was it? Was the woman's name Shua, or was the man's name Shuha, or whatever? They get those two things mixed up. I don't know if you see the problem, but what it is, the Canaanite in Genesis refers to a man, and the Canaanitess would refer to a woman. And the word, or the name Shuha, S-H-U-A, is a woman's name, and the word S-H-U-A-H in Genesis, Shuha, is a man's name. Now, they're spelled real close together. In fact, the only difference between them is the H on the end of the name. And so the scholars say, well, see, the Bible's wrong because one place it says a Canaanite and it should say Canaanitis, or else it should say Canaanite in the other place instead of Canaanitis. You see the problem there? Okay, I hope you all see that. Because the scholars say, see, there's a problem here. The King James Bible's wrong. It made a mistake. No, the scholars are wrong. The Bible's right. The word Canaanitess refers to the wife, Shuha, without the H, and the word Canaanite refers to Shua with the H in Genesis. Okay, that's how it works out. Now, let me give you an example. You've got a name here that's a masculine and a feminine name. For example, didn't Jack Kennedy marry Jackie Kennedy? Okay, what about Frankie and Johnny? Who's the male there? Okay, what about Bob or Bobby? Or Kim or Kim? You see, the problem is not that one's a masculine name. They think that it's got to be masculine in both cases. One, it's a name that could be both masculine or feminine, the Shua, and it's spelled a little different, dropping of the H. So there's no problem with the passage. There's two spellings of the name. One has an H, one doesn't. And both could refer to the man. Okay, I'm going to give you two explanations on this thing. Look in 1 Chronicles 2, 3, and it says there that Judah had these boys, which three were born unto him of the daughter of Shua. Okay? The daughter of Shua, the Canaanitess. Now, the Canaanitess could refer back to the daughter. It doesn't have to refer to the Shua there, okay? And also back in Genesis, he saw there the daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shuha. Okay, the daughter of a Canaanite whose name was Shuha. The fellow's name was Shuha. Okay? That was his name. So he's the dad. And in the other passage, it's the mother's name. That's how you work it out. Okay? Does that make sense? Do you all see it? Some of you don't. Okay? Yeah, Genesis, it's the father. And in Chronicles, it's the mother. Yes. Now, where it says, born unto him of the daughter of Shua, the Canaanitess, that can refer to the daughter, who would be a Canaanitess also. In either case, it's correct. Okay? Now, I hope I gave that to you just right. But see, there's no problem. It's what you come down to is that one's a masculine name or a feminine. It can be used interchangeably. And there's no problem with the text. They'll say, well, which one was the man here is what they say. Well, who was the man, with Jack or Jackie Kennedy? Or Bob or Bobby? It's just, there's no problem with the text. People just want to pick on the Bible. Okay, so that's one problem that they'll come up and give you. A Canaanite, yeah, probably could refer to either one. Most of the time it would refer to a man or that nation as a masculine gender, But it could refer to either one. Okay, hope you all see that. All right, now back in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 3, it says, that was Judah's first son. Now, was killed by the Lord, Genesis 38:7. Genesis 38:7. Now, the Bible doesn't tell what he did, but whatever he did was bad enough for the Lord to kill him. So, the Lord killed him. And that was in Genesis 38:7. Now, the next son mentioned, Onan, he was supposed to raise up seed to his brother who was killed by the Lord, and he didn't do that, and then the Lord killed him. And you'll find that in Genesis 38:7-10. Genesis 38:7-10. So Judah had two boys that were killed by the Lord, and then he had Shelah, which was left, and then he had a couple other ones here by Tamar. Now verse 4, 1 Chronicles 2:4, and Tamar, his daughter-in-law, Tamar was the one that was married to did something wicked and died without any children, without any sons. Onan was supposed to go and raise up seed unto and he didn't do it. And so God killed Onan. Then Judah tells Tamar, says, stay here in my house until my other son, Shelah, gets raised up, and then he'll be your husband. And so Tamar said, okay, she'll do that. And so she was promised to Shelah, and that's in Genesis 38:11. But Judah didn't keep his promise because time went on and the boy grew old, and Tamar saw that she wasn't going to be given to him as a wife, Genesis 38:14. So what Tamar did, she went down and played the harlot in a town where she knew Judah would be coming by. And Judah's wife had died, and so he went by and saw this harlot, and he went into her, and he didn't know it was Tamar, his daughter-in-law, because she had her face covered up. And that's in Genesis 38:26-30. Genesis 38:26-30. And then, because of that union, she had twin boys out of that thing. And their names were Pharaz and Zeram, and they're found right here in this passage. But you can check all that back in Genesis 38, that whole story there. I don't have time to really go into all that. Okay, 1 Chronicles, we'll skip down to verse 7 now. It says, and the sons of Carmi, Achar, the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the thing accursed, that... Carmi is the son of the fellow, probably we'd better know him as Achan. When they went to Jericho, Joshua went to Jericho to fight the battle, Achan took the accursed thing, and of course he was a troubler of Israel, and it says here, it says in this passage, and he transgressed in the thing accursed, where the Lord told him not to take of the accursed thing. In the passage, now it doesn't tell you who Carmi is the son of. If you'll check the genealogies here in Chronicles, it doesn't say who Carmi is the son of, but you get that by going back to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua 7, verse 1 and 18. And I'll read that. You don't have to turn there, but write it down. Joshua 7, 1 and 18 says, but the children of Israel committed trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zibdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah. And that Zerah was one of the twins that was born unto Judah by Tamar. Okay, so you got Zerah, Zimri, and then Carmi would be the connection there in 1 Chronicles. And so you see from that union that Judah had with his daughter-in-law, and she was playing the harlot, they had a fella come out of that a couple generations down that was a troubler of Israel, and 30-some men were killed in the Battle of Ai because he took something at Jericho that he shouldn't have taken. And so, you see, sin will find them out. And, of course, they stoned Achan. They stoned Achan. And that's found in Joshua 7, verse 25. Joshua 7, 25. Okay, back in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, verse 9. Now, this next few verses, 9 to 12, is the line that King David comes from. And I've already read through it once, and you'll see in verse 12 it says, Boaz beget Obed, and Obed beget Jesse. And if you'll match that up with the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Verse 4, 18 to 22. Ruth 4, 18 to 22. Gives you the genealogy the same there about Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, and David, and so forth. That's the line that David comes from. It's also the line that Jesus Christ comes from. Now, verses 13 to 15 are going to list David's brothers. Verse 13, and Jesse beget his first, Eliab, and Abinadab the second, and Sima the third, and Nathamel the fourth, Radii the fifth, Ozim the sixth, David the seventh, whose sisters were Zariah and Abigail, the sons of Zariah, Abishai and Joab and Azahel, three, and Abigail bare Amasa. The father of Amasa was Jether, the Ishmaelite. Okay, now, in this passage, there is another problem that arises here also. As I said when I started the course, that in Chronicles and Kings and Samuel, you'll probably have more seeming contradictions than any other place in the Bible, except the Gospels and the New Testament. There just seems to be place after place after place where the scholars and Bible rejectors want to find fault with the Bible. And this one's found in 1 Chronicles 2, verse 15, where it says David was the seventh. David was the seventh, another problem text. Well, in 1 Samuel 16, let's look there. 1 Samuel 16, verse 10. Find out something else here. 1 Samuel 16, verse 10 says, Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. So Jesse made seven of his boys pass before Samuel, and he says, is there any more? He says, yeah, there's one more, the younger one. Of course, that was David. Well, seven and one, by simple arithmetic, is eight. And if you look in 1 Chronicles 17, verse 12, it says, now, David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had eight sons. Okay, so see, one passage says there's eight sons, but yet in Chronicles it says David was the seventh. So, the last reference was 1 Samuel 17, 12. 1 Samuel 17, 12. It says he had eight sons. One place it says, though, David's the seventh. So there's, you know, the King James Bible made a mistake again. Poor scholars didn't know what they were doing, and when they, or the translators didn't, so the scholars have to help them out, and help God out. The problem is David the seventh or is he the eighth? Well, the answer is he's both. You say, how? Okay, here's the explanation. I think I've got two here. Let me see. Yeah, I've got two explanations for it. Okay, first of all, very simple. One of the sons of Jesse in 1 Samuel 16 could have been an adopted son. It couldn't have been. It might not have been his. Now, it doesn't say that, but I'm saying this is one way to work it out. It could have been an adopted son. Therefore, he was not entered into the official list that we find in 1 Chronicles. Okay, Chronicles is an official list. And so, not being seed from Jesse, he wasn't entered into this genealogy, but yet he was counted as a son because he was adopted. One place it's just telling you that he was could have been adopted. Another place that he wasn't entered in because he was. That's one way to work it out. Now, another way is one of the sons of Jesse could have died without any offspring, and although he was mentioned back in Samuel, back when that was written, when Chronicles was written, he wasn't put in because he had no offspring and he had died. And so that would have taken David from the eighth place and put him in the seventh place. So there's two ways to work it out. Let me read this. One of the sons of Jesse may have died while he was young without offspring. Therefore, it was the purpose to mention eight sons in the historical account of 1 Samuel 16. It is unnecessary to do so in the genealogy of 1 Chronicles 2. So David was the eighth son in 1 Samuel, but he's listed as the seventh son in Chronicles. There's no problem with it, okay, unless you've got a hatred for the Word of God or something's wrong with your heart. I don't have any problem with it myself. And I believe God knew which son David was. I don't think he's, messed up. I mean, he knows every star in the heavens and has them all named and numbered and knows how many hairs are on our heads, so I don't think he's got any problem with that. Okay. All right, back in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 16, I'm going to mention these two sisters of David. One was Zeruiah, and she had three boys by the name of Abishai, Joab, and Asahel. And you need to, if you're not familiar with those names, write them down, because those boys play a pretty important role in David's life. They'll be mentioned throughout the Kings and the Chronicles, and even in Samuel. They'll be mentioned in there quite a bit. So write their names down. That was the sons of Zeruiah. Then also the son of Abigail, his name was Amasa. And so all these boys here would have been David's nephews. They would all have been David's nephews. They were related to David, nephews of David. Now, it's possible that the Bible tells us who David's mother is. Now, it may not be so because we're in this thing, but in 2 Samuel verse 17, 2 Samuel 17 verse 25 says that Abigail had this son. Okay, it says, and Absalom made Amasa, who was the son of Abigail, captain of the host instead of Joab. And Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithra the Israelite, and went to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Zeruiah, Joab's mother. Now that person's name, Nahash, that is a possibility that would be David's mother, because it says there that Abigail is the daughter of Nahash. Well, we know who David's father is Jesse. David's father is Jesse, and that was found here in 1 Chronicles 2:15 and 16 or following down through there. And so this could be possible that this person, Nahash, is the mother of David or, a stepmother, something like that. Because in the Old Testament, men did have more than one wife, so it's either his mother or his stepmother. Now, it doesn't say, but it does say that Abigail is definitely her daughter. Okay. Verse 18, 1 Chronicles 2:18. Now it says, and Caleb the son of Hezron. Now this Caleb here is not the Caleb that's found back in Numbers and Joshua. That Caleb's a different fellow than this one here. But there's something peculiar about these guys. Because, they don't have the same father, and their line's not the same. You can check those things out and see that they're not the same. But they happen to have a daughter that was the same name, and it's mentioned. So, I couldn't quite figure out what was going on there. But the Caleb of Joshua 14:6 and 1 Chronicles 4:15, both these Calebs have daughters by the name of A-C-H-A-S-A-H. And that's found in 1 Chronicles 2:49, 1 Chronicles 2:49, and Joshua 15:16. Joshua 15:16. You write those down. Both of the Calebs are from Judah. Both Calebs are from Judah. 1 Chronicles 2, verse 3 to 18. 1 Chronicles 2, 3 to 18. And Numbers 13:6, Numbers 13:6. The one in Numbers 13:6 is the Caleb that went to the land to spy it out. Okay, verses 18 to 55 is the sons of Caleb, and also Jerahmeel, the brother of Caleb, mentions those fellows' names there. And I'm not going to read anything else in this chapter here. I'm going to go ahead and go on over to chapter 3, because we're going to try and stick with the tribe of Judah and the line of Christ, the messianic line. We're going to follow that. So we'll pick it up in 1 Chronicles. You know, you can go back and read those names, and there's some things mentioned in there and some towns and things like that. You'll find out who these fellows, what towns they started. A lot of times, a guy's name in a town matched in the Old Testament because he was the founder of that town. For instance, down here in the corner of Dayton's Union 35, used to be called Zimmerman, or Zimmermansville, started by a fellow by the name of Zimmerman. And, of course, I guess it's all Beaver Creek now. It's probably been annexed and everything. But, you know, still the same as it was in the Old Testament. God. What happened there? Okay, chapter 3. Let's pick it up there. Chapter 3, give you an outline real quick. Roman numeral number 1 gives us the sons of David. Sons of David. The sons of David, verse 1 to 9. Verses 1 to 9. Roman numeral number 2, the kings of Judah. Kings of Judah. Verses 10 to 17. Verses 10 to 17. And then the sons of Jeconiah. Sons of Jeconiah. Verse 17 to 24. Please? Yeah, what? Oh, yes, Jeconiah. Okay, and that's verses 17 to 24. Okay, and that's the outline for the chapter. Okay, verses 1 to 4. Now these are the sons of David, which were born to him in Hebron. The firstborn, Ammon, of Ahinoman, the Jezreelitess. The second, Daniel, of Abigail, the Carmelitess. The third, Absalom, the son of Micaiah, the daughter of Talmah, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggath. The fifth, Shephatiah, of Abital. The sixth, Ithream by Eglah, his wife. These six were born unto him in Hebron, and there he reigned 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. Okay, so again, you have these sons with hard-to-pronounce names mentioned here, and these sons were born to David in Hebron. Cross-reference that with 2 Samuel 3, 1 through 5. 2 Samuel 3, 1 to 5. Now, the only difference you'll find in that list there, and as opposed to this list in 1 Chronicles, is the fellow named Daniel here in verse 1. He's called, if I can pronounce it, Chibla, C-H-I-L-E-A-B. Chileab or something like that. C-H-I-L-E-A-B. That's his name in 1 Samuel. All the other sons match. Just again, give me a different name for the same son. Okay? Just like I've got a little girl named Kimberly Grace. We call her Grace, but when you go to the doctor's office, they always call her Kim because it's on her record that way. And I say, who are you talking about? You know? And that's her name, and we never call her that. So, you see, that's all that's going on here. There's no big problem with it. There's no mistakes in the Bible. Okay, verse 4. Now, after the death of Saul, I'm going to kind of explain here about that Hebron and Jerusalem. After the death of Saul, the kingdom split. See, the kingdom split two times. It split once under David, then was reunited, and then it split once under Rehoboam, one of Solomon's sons, and was never reunited. Okay? So after Saul's death, David reigned in Hebron over the area called Judah and the tribe of Judah. And Ishbosheth, Saul's son, reigned over Israel, the other tribes that were left. You'll find that in 2 Samuel 2:8-11. Then after that, Ishbosheth was murdered, and then David reigned over all of Israel. 2 Samuel 5:5 is where David finally gets the reign over all of Israel. First he reigned, it says here in Hebron, for 7.5 years. See, after Saul died, David didn't get the kingdom right away. He was reigning in Hebron. Hebron, I don't have a map here to show you, but it's south, just a little bit east of Jerusalem. So it's below Jerusalem. And he reigned there 7.5 years. Then he finally got the kingdom. And then he went to Jerusalem. And then it tells about some sons that were born to him in Jerusalem. And it lists a bunch more. I'm not going to read it for sake of time. But let me give you these three passages. I want you to write these down. Three passages where you find the list of David's sons. Okay? Number one, they're found in 2 Samuel 5:14-16. They're also found here in this passage we're reading, 1 Chronicles 3:5-8. And then they're also found in 1 Chronicles 14:4-7. You'll find those sons mentioned. Now, just let me say this. You don't have to write this stuff down. It won't probably be on the test or anything. But the lists never match up exactly, okay? And, of course, again, you know, it's repetitious going over these things about problems, but people that hate the Bible seem to have a problem with it. The sons mentioned in, there's only 11 sons mentioned in the reference in 2 Samuel 5. There's only 11 mentioned there. Simple reason, two hadn't been born at the time the list was written in 2 Samuel. You know, takes a real scholar to figure that out. Then the list here in Chronicles that we're reading has 13 sons listed, and that's all of them. And then later on in Chronicles, we'll have, again, another list of 13, but just a different spelling in a couple of the boys' names. That's the only thing that's any different. So there's no problem with that. Okay. Verse 9, 1 Chronicles 3:9. These were all the sons of David, besides the sons of the concubines, and Tamar, their daughter. Okay, so Tamar's brought out here. Not too many times in Scripture is a woman's name brought out or a daughter in the line, unless there's something specific the Lord wants you to learn about that person. He'll bring that into effect, like Jacob had a daughter, Dinah, who was mentioned in the Scriptures. And here, David has a daughter mentioned in the Scriptures. I'm trying to think of one more. Well, it was a daughter-in-law, Tamar, and Judah. That was a daughter-in-law there. But he mentions her name because she does play a part in David's life, and later on we'll see that. But the children of David that are mentioned in the Scriptures, David had at least 20 children. David had at least 20 children. He had six sons in Hebron. He had four sons in Jerusalem by Bathsheba. He had four sons in Jerusalem by Bathsheba. And he had nine more at Jerusalem by other women. Nine more at Jerusalem. And then, of course, this one daughter that's mentioned here in verse 9, Tamar. And you add those up, that's 20. That's besides, you know, the concubines. So he had 20 and on up children. Man, that is a lot of children. You know, I just don't feel sorry for David at all. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes, you know what I mean? But he had 20 children. And doesn't mention the ones by the concubines as far as I can tell from the Scriptures here. Okay, verses 10 to 16. Now, this is very important because we're tracing this line of Judah. This is the kings of Judah here listed from verse 10 to verse 16. Now, I'll read them. Of course, David had Solomon by Bathsheba, and Solomon took the throne after David died. And Solomon's son was Rehoboam, Abiah his son, Asa his son, Jehoshaphat his son, Joram his son, Ahazi his son, Joash his son, Amaziah his son, Azariah his son, Jotham his son, Ahaz his son, Hezekiah his son, Manasseh his son, Ammon his son, Josiah his son. And the sons of Josiah were the firstborn, Jehohanan, the second, Jehoiakim, the third, Zedekiah, the fourth, Shalom. Okay, oh, I'll read verse 16. And the sons of Jehoiakim, Jeconiah the son of his son, Zedekiah his son. Okay, that lists the kings of Judah. And again, as I said earlier in the study, in our first lesson, that the book of 1 Chronicles deals mainly with the kings of Judah. The book of 1 and 2 Kings deals mainly with the kings of Israel, the northern tribes. And this line right here, we're going to be able to trace this on down, and this is the line of David's sons that leads to Jesus Christ, who would be the king of Israel one day. You have 19 sons or kings listed here, from Solomon to Jeconiah in verse 16. You have 19 sons listed there. Counting David, a total of 20 kings reign over Judah. Okay, now, it gets real... Well, I tell you, I spent I don't know how long trying to run these kings down at the end here. Everything goes pretty good until you get down to Josiah and Jehoiakim. Well, actually, Jehoiakim in verse 15. When you get to him, man, I mean, he has these sons, and he has about two or three sons that reign, but only one of them is counted in the line, and then that guy's cut off. Now, let me try and give this to you if I can. Look at verse 16. You see the guy's name, Jeconiah? J-E-C-O-N-I-A-H? Okay, that fellow has about three names in Scripture. He's also called Kaniah. And in Jeremiah, I'm going to read you this prophecy about this king, because Jeremiah was a contemporary with him, because Jeremiah went into captivity, and that's when this guy went into captivity at the same time. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 24 says, as I live, saith the Lord, though Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. And he goes on to tell about this guy, about how bad he is. In verse 28, is this man, Kaniah, a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out? He and his seed... and are cast into the land which they know not. He's talking about they're going to be taken into captivity. Then here comes the prophecy about this king. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Okay, so what you do is you go from Solomon down to Jeconiah, or Kaniah as he's called. If you look how his name's spelled, J-E-C-O-N-I-A-H. Well, if you kick off the J-E, you got Kaniah. It's the same guy. Kick the Jek off. Okay? So that's what the Lord did. Kick part of his name off and then put a curse on him. And the kingly line, as far as kings ruling on the throne of Judah, stops with him. Nobody ever sits on the throne of David after him. Now, there is a man called... Zedekiah, who was a king after him, but Zedekiah was not this fellow's son. Zedekiah was his uncle. So the last king he actually had was Zedekiah, but he was not in the line as far as coming down through Jehoiakim and Jeconiah. Jeconiah had no sons to sit on the throne. Yes, sir?
You said this man had three names.
Jehoiachin, 2 Kings 24:6. He's known as Jeconiah, Jehoiachin, or Kaniah. Those three names. 2 Kings 24:6. Okay? So he has three names. And he goes into captivity. And the prophecy there says that he won't have any children sitting upon the throne anymore. So... by this passage here, this is one you need to know, in Jeremiah 22. This cuts off any earthly person from this line ever reigning sitting on David's throne. I mean, God cursed it and said there's not going to be a son sitting on the throne. But yet, Jesus Christ is going to be the king of Israel and he comes from that line. This prophecy here politically proves the virgin birth. See, because if Jesus Christ had been the son of Joseph, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, all the way back to this guy, he could never sit on the throne of David because the line was cursed from this point on. And no king could ever sit on the throne. But the line went as far as it could, and then, supernaturally, a king is put in the line without a physical father, an earthly father. He's put in by God Almighty, God manifest in the flesh. And so that's how you can have a king sitting on that throne one day if he was a supernatural king. And so that's something you need to know. Okay, see, in back in 1 Chronicles 3, you have some sons of Jeconiah mentioned. In fact, there's eight sons, verses 17 and 18 mentioned. And when that prophecy says, write this man childless, now I can't quite explain that. I don't know what it means exactly when it says write him childless, because he did have eight sons. And the line did go from him down to Jesus Christ. But it says, no man of his seed shall prosper. So it's just like, really, he didn't have any kids, in a sense. Nobody ever got to reign after him. It was just, there was no man prospering. And so that may be what that means, write him childless, just like he didn't have any kids at all. Okay? And, okay, turn back to 1 Chronicles 3. I'm trying to make this as exciting as possible. I know these... This is, you know, a little hectic, and I tell you, I spent a long time just trying to run that line out and figure that out. Now, if you look back in 1 Chronicles 3, real quick, and look down there in verse 17, you see where it says, "And the sons of Jeconiah, Asher, and Salatiel." Okay, that fellow's name is very important, because that guy, what happens here is they go into captivity. Jeconiah, his dad, goes into Babylon. He has Shealtiel in captivity. And Shealtiel has a son by the name of Zerubbabel. If you remember from Ezra and Nehemiah, Zerubbabel goes back and is the governor over Jerusalem, okay, in the book of Ezra. Let me get it here. No, Zerubbabel wasn't a priest. Ezra was the priest. Huh? No, Zerubbabel wasn't a priest. Zerubbabel was the governor. There was a fellow by the name of Jeshua. He went. He was a priest, but Zerubbabel was the governor. Ezra 3:2 and Ezra 5:2 says talks about Zerubbabel. Now, what I want you to do is turn over to Matthew chapter 1, and we'll pick up a genealogy there. And look in Matthew 1, verse 11. Matthew 1:11 says, "And Josias begat Jeconias." Okay, Jeconias is the king that got the curse put on him. "And his brethren," when? "About the time they were carried away to Babylon." So see, that was the last king. He was carried away to Babylon. Jeconias or Keniah. "And after they were brought into Babylon, Jeconias begat Salatiel, who is mentioned back in 1 Chronicles 3:17. And then it says, "And Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel." Now, the connection you make in Ezra is where it says Shealtiel, or Zerubbabel is the son of Shealtiel, Ezra 3:2. And Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Okay, so that's how you get the connection there. It doesn't tell you that. You have to compare Scripture to Scripture to get that. And then outside of the New Testament genealogy in Matthew, there's no connection in the Old Testament of that. I mean, you wouldn't really know that. Be able to verify it unless you have the New Testament genealogy. And then from Zerubbabel here in Matthew 1:13 all the way to Jesus Christ, the men mentioned in that list there are not found, as far as I can tell, in the Old Testament. Because what happens when Zerubbabel comes back in Ezra and Nehemiah, then you have, right after that, you have that period they call the 400 years of silence, when there's no open revelation and nothing happens, and there was just really nothing written down during that time. Okay, let's see if I've got all given you all I want to give you here.
What scripture do you have that Zedekiah was his uncle?
Zedekiah being his uncle? That is 2 Kings 24:17. Now that Zedekiah had two names. It was Mathaniah also. Zedekiah or Mathaniah. I didn't give you that, but you don't really need to know that for this class. Okay. Shealtiel was the son of Jehoiachin, and he had Zerubbabel, and we've already run that connection. This, as far as we can take it, the line of the Messiah in the Old Testament. The New Testament reveals the rest, Matthew chapter 1, also Luke chapter 3. Now, I want to bring out something here real important that the Lord showed me about this genealogy. Now, the genealogy in Matthew runs down, and it says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary." So the line in Matthew is Joseph's line. Joseph back to David. So Joseph was a son of David. And, of course, then any of his children would have been sons of David. But yet, we know that Joseph was not Jesus' daddy. He was his stepfather. We know that from Scripture. So, but Jesus shows up in the line, see? He shows up in the line, and it had to be by a supernatural birth, because if it was a physical birth, he could never reign on the throne. The line is already cursed. You all understand that? Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Joseph, Mary's husband, did you ever think about him much? You know, I don't hear too much mention about him. What happened to him at the crucifixion? Where was Joseph? Where was Joseph at the crucifixion?
He speculated dead until somebody else took care
of him. Right. Joseph was dead at this time. Joseph, by the time the crucifixion takes place, and even before that, Joseph has died. Now, we can verify that by Scripture. Got it written down here somewhere. Okay, John 19:26-27, where Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he looks down and sees Mary and says, "Woman, behold thy son." And he looks at John and says, "John, son, behold thy mother." And he says, from that point on, John took Mary home and took care of her. You read that passage there in John 19:26-27. So, if Joseph was around, that would have been his job. He was the husband. So from that verse, we see that Joseph wasn't around. And I believe he was dead. Okay, now here's the other reason I believe Joseph was dead. Not only because he wasn't there to take care of Mary, but this is something the Lord showed me. Because when Jesus Christ went into Jerusalem about a week or a few days before his crucifixion, you know what they were saying to him in John 12:13? They said, "Blessed is the King of Israel." That's what they said about Jesus Christ coming into the city. John 12:13. Well, Jesus Christ, being the righteous man and sinless man that he was, goes into the city, and he could have taken the crown and been the king. The people had accepted him, but they crucified him 3 days later. He could have been the king and accepted it. So for him to have a bona fide offer to the nation of Israel as their king, his supposed dad could not have been alive. Elsewise, he would have been usurping the authority of the king, or the rightly king, his dad. Now, I understand that the line was cursed and Joseph couldn't sit, but from an earthly viewpoint, an earthly look at the thing, who was rightly in the line? Joseph, right? So who would get the throne if they ever set it up? Joseph would have got it. But he was dead, so Jesus Christ comes in and could have been the king right then. So, isn't that good? To know that, you know, Jesus Christ came in there and didn't usurp the authority of the king's office or anything. I mean, his dad, supposed dad, was already dead. And, you know, I never thought much about Joseph until I started going through this, and the Lord showed me that. I said, oh, that's pretty good, you know. And so, Jesus Christ came in, and Joseph, his supposed father, was dead at this point. Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Let's go on. We'll go into chapter 4 now. I wanted to get through into chapter 5. And I don't think we're going to even make it tonight. We only got a few minutes left. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. An outline real quick. Roman numeral 1, the sons of Judah. Roman numeral 1, the sons of Judah. For chapter 4, verses 1 to 23. Verses 1 to 23. Roman numeral number 2, the sons of Simeon, or Simon. Verses 24 to 43. It's just broken down in those two places. Verses 24 to 43. Okay. Chapter 4. Now, list here the sons of Judah again, and gives Pharez and Hezron and Carmi and so forth and so on. And what it does in this list, it gives you just, it goes down a different line. It goes down a different line. That Carmi in verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, is the Caleb of 2:9. 1 Chronicles 2:9, same guy there. And he's just going to trace it through a different line here. So we're not going to look at that. It's not the messianic line. Okay, now, remember when I told you in the first class that the Lord sticks these little golden nuggets right in the middle of a passage of a genealogy? Okay, verse number 9. Verse 9 and 10, right in the middle of a genealogy of Judah and Simeon, you have these two verses found. It says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." And then it goes on, starts a genealogy right up. I mean, right in the middle of a genealogy, just drops this gold nugget right in there. You say, well, what's so good about that? Well, I'll tell you what, man. This, I got a sermon out of this thing. Now, I'm going to have to put a copyright on this sermon. For all you preacher boys, you can't preach it now till after I do. But what you have to do, I heard a preacher say one time, when you don't know anything else to do in something you find in the Old Testament, when you can't figure it out, put Jesus in the middle of it and it'll make sense. And in Luke chapter, here's the principle, Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, 25 to 27. Luke 24, 25 to 27. In that passage of Scripture, you have Jesus Christ Himself telling the disciples everything that was contained in Moses and the prophets that concerned Himself. So the Old Testament speaks of Jesus Christ. And He explained that all to His disciples. And you read that passage in Luke. Now, Jabez is found in the Scripture four times. Three times right here in these two verses. Chapter 4, verse 9, he's found twice. In verse 10, he's found once. And also in 1 Chronicles 2:55, and it's referring to a city there. Possibly he started that city and built it. Now, what I'm going to do is compare this fellow to Jesus Christ. I believe this guy is a type of Christ. And I'll give you 12 reasons why. There's only 12 things I found about this guy. That's a good number. How much tape I got left there, brother? It's getting close, isn't it?
A few minutes?
Okay, I'm going to try it now. I want to get this on tape. If I have to go back and give you it, I'll do it after the tape shuts off. I'm going to compare Jabez to Jesus Christ. The first thing is they're both in the line of Judah. They're both in the line of Judah. He's stuck right here in Judah's genealogy. Jesus Christ is in the line of Judah. Revelation 5:5. Number two, if you'll study this passage in 1 Chronicles, you will find no earthly father mentioned of Jabez. It doesn't ever say he's the son of somebody or somebody begat him in the passage. It just sticks his name in there and you don't know who he belongs to. A type of the virgin birth. A type of Jesus Christ who didn't have an earthly father. Jesus Christ had no earthly father, Matthew 1:18. Isn't that good? I wondered why his dad's name wasn't in there. That's why. It's a type of Christ. His name means sorrow. Jesus Christ bore our sorrow, Isaiah 53:1-5. Isaiah 53:1-5. Matthew 26:38. Matthew 26:38. His mother bore him in sorrow. And, of course, the Bible says in Genesis 3:16 that women bear children in sorrow. And in Luke 2:34-35, a prophecy given to Mary said a sword would pierce through her soul about Jesus Christ. Number five, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Well, you know Jesus Christ is more honorable than his brethren. Hebrews 2:7-9. Hebrews 2:7-9. Revelation 5:12. Number six, he called upon the Lord. Jabez did that, so did Jesus Christ in the messianic Psalms found in Psalms 118:5. Psalms 118:5. Number seven, he was blessed. Romans 9:5. Jesus Christ is blessed. God bless forever. Number eight, enlarge my coast. He says, enlarge my coast. Psalms 118:5, a messianic psalm, and Psalms 2:7-8. Psalms 118:5 and Psalms 2:7-8 talks about setting him in a large place and giving him the heathen for an inheritance. He enlarged his coast. Jesus Christ not only got Israel as an inheritance, but he got the Gentile nations too as an inheritance. So God enlarged his coast. Also Isaiah 49:6. Isaiah 49:6. Next of all, his hand, God's hand be with him. Number 9, be Luke 23:46. Luke 23:46, Jesus says, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Crucifixion. Number 10 says, keep me from evil. Jabez prayed that. Keep me from evil. Well, Jesus Christ was kept from evil. Acts 2:25-27 says, his soul was not left in hell, neither did he see corruption, because God raised him up. He kept him from evil. And number 11, that he be not grieved. Hebrews 12:2 says that Jesus Christ endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And number 12, the last one, God answered his prayer. It says here that, you know, God granted to him that which he requested, Jabez. And, of course, God always answers Jesus Christ. John 11:41-42. John 11:41-42. And Hebrews 5:7-8. Now, I know that was a lot, and if you need them, I'll give them to you in a second. But I want to say this. This person right here types Jesus Christ in all those points. God stuck it in here. Give you a gold nugget right in the middle of a genealogy somewhere. Someplace you wouldn't think of getting something like that. That's a sermon, man. You can preach that thing. That guy was a type of Jesus Christ. And if you need him after class, see me on those verses. Okay. The rest of the chapter just deals with the sons of Simeon and the cities where they dwelt and battles that they fought and things like that, verses 24 to 43. I'm not even going to read the names or anything. Chapter 5. Let me give you the outline, if we can get it on the tape. Chapter 5, an outline, Roman numeral 1, the sons of Reuben, verses 1 to 10. Sons of Reuben, verses 1 to 10. Roman numeral 2, the sons of Gad, verses 11 to 17. And then Roman numeral 3, battles of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. You can just write down battles. Verses 18 to 22. Roman numeral number 4, sons of the half-tribe of Manasseh.